Father, we bless you tonight and we glorify you. Jesus, your name is the name above all names. It's the great name. That name that you got by conquest as you defeated death, hell, and the grave. Rose victorious with the keys of death and hell, with all authority in heaven and earth, seated at the right hand of God. That name that you got by inheritance, to which God said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is righteousness." That name which you got as you humbled yourself and was given to you. That name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That name when you rose again and were seated far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world and that which but in that which is to come. And you were made the head over all things to the church, us, your body. And we thank you, Father God, that together we fulfill all in all. All part of your plan, all part of your purpose. We give you all praise and honor and glory tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, shake somebody's hand you haven't talked to yet. Let them know you're glad they're here tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Give our singers a big hand clap. Glory to God. That reminds me of old Bible study type singing when you didn't necessarily have songs or anything like that. I forgot I was watching Lord of the Rings Return of the King here, so we got the wrong thing up here, so hang on. It started playing. Aragorn's about ready to go in to talk to those ghost warriors there, and it's intense because Gimli is not very happy about the whole thing, so you know. Yeah, amen. We can watch it. There's no sound, so you know. Amen. Glory to God. Oh, thank God for technology when it works, right? All right. Hallelujah. Well, we got it early, so, you know, I'm pretty good. I don't anymore, you know, it seems like. Now, I can if I have to. Some places you travel and you don't go an hour and a half, 2 hours around the world, they look at you like, that's all you got? What's wrong with you? But this is an hour of power, and we don't have to stay the whole hour, but we'll get out what God wants tonight. How do you believe that? Amen? If you got your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 6 with me. If you don't know who Aragorn and Lord and all that kind of stuff is, oh, brother, I don't watch stuff like that. That's okay. Maybe you and I can't be friends. We can be in the same family of God, but we just not going to hang out together. How many of you are glad it doesn't say we're commanded to be friends with everybody? It says you have to love one another. All right, don't look at the person next to you. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. In doing really some really searching God and searching the scriptures, you know, We are still here on the earth, not because it's such a wonderful place to be. We are here on the earth because the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world. It's not about us. We're citizens of heaven. The Bible says that our home is heaven. I like the Passion Translation there in Philippians 2 says, we're at home in heaven. We belong there. Now, why? I mean, I know why, but you know, you could ask the question, well, why didn't, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, why didn't we automatically just get that resurrected body and go to heaven and be with Jesus? Okay? Because there's other people on the earth that have to hear. And so in looking at this, you know, and I've been teaching here the last few times that I've been privileged and honored to preach at this great church, to talk about those who are brokenhearted and those who are bruised and broken in pieces, and how there's just as much healing of power available for that as there is to heal your body. Jesus is anointed to do all that. But then from our standpoint, you know, Pastor Craig talked about Sunday morning about it's not for just here in the church. It's not, I told you, it's for out there. And in talking about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God, and in doing some study and background study of it, it really comes down to being the right to rule and to have authority, but it always operates whenever we're doing business for God. Amen. Now, obviously it works for us, but what about using this authority and about the kingdom of God on behalf of others to help others? You know, somebody that doesn't even know Jesus can't walk in authority, in a sense, over the things of the devil. They don't even know. But we should know. We should know how to take the name of Jesus and break the power of the devil over somebody's life, to bring healing, to heal their brokenhearted heart, to heal their bruise, to bind them up with the love of God. Know how to, like the Samaritan, pour in the oil and the wine and take care of them. Well, I'm seeing some things here in talking about the kingdom of God, and students will know this, especially our second year students. But I wanted to look at some of this tonight and understand this. Now, when I'm talking about the kingdom of God, I'm not talking about a movement that happened several years ago now called the Kingdom Now movement, where we've just got so much authority and we got so much power, we're going to turn everything on earth, just going to become heaven. Now, it's going to one day, but not because of us. Jesus is going to take care of that. All right. But we do have authority that we're to operate while we're doing the kingdom business now. Because, you know, have you ever thought about this? There's only two group of people on the earth today. There's those who are in Christ. You're born again. How many born again people here now? You say, I'm a Christian. Well, then you're my brother and sister. And yes, I'm here to minister to you as need be, but it's the other family, or other group of people that's in the earth, that's why I'm alive today and breathing God's air. It's those who don't know Christ. Those two families. So you're my brother and sister. But they are the reason that I'm still here, is so they can hear this good news, so they can experience the love of God and know the gospel of the kingdom. The good news. One place calls it the glad tidings of the kingdom. I like that. What's gospel mean? Good news? Preaching the kingdom of God is not preaching, look, you know, good, dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell. That's not good news. Good news is, hey, guess what? You don't have to go to hell. Jesus has taken care of it. Be reconciled to God. God's not your enemy. He's not the ones against you. He's on your side. In fact, he's so much on your side, he sent his son to die for you so you wouldn't have to die and go to hell. You can live and live eternally. And you can start living that eternal life right now. So that's the good news. So here in Matthew 6, we call this, how many of you grew up maybe saying every Sunday the Lord's Prayer in church? I remember when I came over, I grew up in a denominational church, and so we'd say the Lord's Prayer almost every Sunday. I remember when I came, I was actually at camp meeting. This would have been, let's see, we came to camp meeting downtown 81 and 82, I think, or 82, yeah, 81 and 82. It was one of those times down there. The place was so full, we sat up behind the platform, you know, and ran in to get those seats. I mean, I'm talking about the days when people would run you over to get a seat in church, right? Ushers had to link arms and walk down the aisles, you know. People throwing their Bibles five rows over, trying to get their Bible and all their papers to spread out on the seats, you know. I mean, you know, I'll stick the heel of my shoe in your back in Jesus' name to get that seat. You were guaranteed a healing line every service because people got hurt coming into church. But I'll never forget, somebody was passing out this form. You know, he thought he'd really found something. How that this is not a New Testament prayer, because it's not, he didn't tell us to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And in New Testament prayer, we have to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. This isn't a prayer that we're supposed to quote. It's a pattern. All right? I mean, he said, take that back home and see what your pastor thinks about that. Ha, ha, ha. You know. Amen. Don't look at me like that. They're in the church today. Amen. But I do want us to look at this, because Jesus says some things here and that are important to us. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be the name. How many of you know it's good to give thanks to God and worship God? Sometimes that's your whole prayer. Just spend time telling God how good he is and how happy you are to be saved, how happy you are to be healed. Thank you, Lord, that the healing power of God's flowing to me. You're so good. You're so powerful. But he says, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is in italics in the King James. Your will be done in earth as in heaven. Pray that God's rule, that the rulership, the place of authority, the right to rule and reign as a king would come. All right? The kingdom also represents the reign of the Messiah. Now, we know he's here, but he hasn't risen yet. But this kingdom, pray that it would come and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we talked about, you know, there's not one brokenhearted person. I mean, that's still experiencing it. They might have been brokenhearted, but they're here in heaven. Right? There's not one sick person in heaven. They might have been sick on earth, but in heaven, they don't have that there. Right? There's not one bruised person, broken into pieces in heaven. So to pray that God's kingdom would come, would pray that God then would help us, help you and help me to reach out to the brokenhearted, to reach out to the sick and the diseased, to reach out to the bruised, the broken in pieces, and cause heaven to come into their life. You see, again, we're not talking about tonight about using our authority for me. We're talking about using the power of God to set the captives free. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Not one thing did Jesus say he was anointed to do had to do with him. It all had to do with others. Now, is he in you? You're a Christian, right? He's in you. Well, he's still anointed today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you wore a WWJD bracelet back in the day? Craig, you still got one on? I mean, you got several on. You don't have one of those on? He's got bracelets of power over there. You don't know what they do, but you know what I'm saying. What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do through you? Can you do what Jesus would do if he was there? I think you can. So he says, pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now let's watch Jesus do this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 back up here. Notice some things here. We're just going to notice some things. Say, well, now this was Jesus, but did Jesus heal anybody because he was God? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that he was anointed by God. Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Any of you got the Holy Ghost? Amen. Verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. See, the kingdom also has to do with God's will being done. That's why we're to pray, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth. He's preaching the will of God and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic, and then they that had palsy, and he healed them. I say this to me, that says that he preached the kingdom and then demonstrated the kingdom. Now go to Matthew chapter 9. And then we're going to just, as we read, we'll pretend that the number 10 isn't there for the next chapter. It's nice that it's there, that I can say turn to chapter 10 if need be, but we're going to keep reading here. Verse 35 to start with, though, in Matthew 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Starting to see a theme. How about you? And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now he names them there. Skip down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not at the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, and freely give. Now I'm going to submit this. You cannot preach the kingdom of God and not have signs and wonders follow. If you aren't having signs and wonders, if you're not, listen, and I'm not talking about just the preacher, okay? Without turning there, I just say, in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, right? Verse 18. He said, now you go, therefore, and make disciples, or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And he said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. What did he command them to do here? Go preach the kingdom of heaven. And what did he tell them to do? Heal the sick. Is that what he said? Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Why? Because that's part of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Matthew 24. Now here in this last part of Matthew, a lot of things concerning the end times are talked about. And I think Pastor Craig and Tony have one more podcast left. It's coming out on the third edition of Talking About End Times. But if you haven't listened to the first two, go listen to those. And then listen to this third one coming out talking about the end times. All right, now, hopefully on there they didn't predict a day because Jesus said no man knows the day or the time. So quit predicting days because because Jesus can't come back on your day because you could say, I knew the day. And he said, no man knows the day. All right? And I don't think you know who the Antichrist is, even though you might have some candidates. But look what Jesus said here in Matthew 24, talking about in the last days. He said, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. This gospel of what? The gospel of God's rule and reign. The gospel of heaven on earth. The gospel of God's will shall be preached. See, not my opinion. The gospel, the good news shall be preached. All right, let's look over in Luke. Go to Luke chapter 4. Now, there's a whole lot of scripture. I was amazed as I started looking at this, how many scriptures there were concerning the kingdom of God and the preaching of it and the results that Jesus had. But then we're going to see not only did Jesus have those results, they had those results in the book of Acts. And if they had them in the book of Acts, you and I can have them today. Now, I know there's a cessation theology out there that says this: all the miracles ceased when the last apostle died. I got good news for you. Even if no other one's an apostle, Jesus isn't dead. And he's the apostle and high priest of our profession. He's alive. And then if it did cease, what day was that? When? And they always want to quote, they quote 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul said, you know, as tongues they shall cease. But they never say knowledge has ceased. Have you ever noticed that? Well, no, neither have the miracles ceased. Tell your neighbor, miracles are for us today. Amen. All right, did you find Luke chapter 4? Look at verse 40. Let's begin there. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying, saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them and allowed them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Now, I didn't write this one down. Look in John chapter 20 for just a moment. Then we're going to come back to Luke chapter 8. Look at John 20. Jesus said he was sent to do what? Preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God. Other place he called it the gospel, right? The good news. Therefore am I sent. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Jesus was sent to preach the kingdom of heaven. We're sent to preach the kingdom also. The message is that it's got what God's will is concerning that person. How many know it's his will that everyone gets saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Right? And so, really, we should not be trying to see how much we can accumulate. We should be seeing how many we can take with us by preaching the gospel. Amen. Luke 8. Just showing a pattern here. If Jesus did it, you say, well, that's Jesus. He said, "The works that I do, shall you do also." If he preached the kingdom, you can preach the kingdom. When he said that, he said, anybody that believes on him, you believe on Jesus tonight, you can do the works of Jesus. You can preach the gospel of the kingdom. You can see the sick healed. You can see the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the bruised put back together, the brokenhearted healed. Absolutely. Verse 8:1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. I love that. I love that. I love that. Not just preaching, showing. 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 Where's the demonstration? Where's the miracles? Well, come to camp meeting, we'll have miracles. Well, thank God we have them there, but we shouldn't have to wait to camp meeting to get healed. Amen. The sick person out there in broken arrows shouldn't have to wait for a special meeting. Thank God for our special meetings. Corporately, we come together corporately, a lot of things happen. But what about you who know them and you know they're not well? What about you putting yourself out there a little bit with the gospel of the kingdom in your words and just dare to believe God that you'll get the same results that happened when they preached the gospel of the kingdom? Now see, I've told people this for years. If you're not having fun being a Christian, you're not doing it right. When you talk to that person about Jesus, and they accept Jesus, or they get healed in their body, amen. Woo, you talk about fun. Now we're having fun. Come on now. All right, let's look here at chapter 9. Then he called, verse 1 and 2, then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Notice he never just sent them to preach. Preach and show. Preach and show. So now we get over in the book of Acts. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's died for our sins, right? Crucified, dead and buried. Third day, he rose again. And is seated at the right hand of God, right? So we get over here in the book of Acts. Now we're in chapter 8. And there's an usher, a deacon named Philip. He was one of the six that they chose to minister to the widows. He's full of faith in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. But remember, Stephen was doing so many miracles just ministering to the widows that they got mad at him and they ended up stoning him to death. After that, that was the place where they scattered and started going out to the uttermost parts of the world and preaching the gospel. But Philip here, this deacon, this usher, who later is called an evangelist, he didn't start there though. He's just ushering. Not that that's just ushering, but he wasn't the preacher. He wasn't, you know, he didn't care about when he called him, what title. He's just going down. He's telling people about Jesus. Look here. In chapter 8, verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing. Everybody say seeing. Seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. See, he's tricking people. like he has the power of God. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because at a long time he'd bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and were baptized, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, and he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which are done. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's God's will on earth? Signs and wonders and miracles. Really, to heaven, it's not a miracle. It's to us, it's a sign and a wonder to the world. But to us, you know what? We should never take it for granted, but we should always expect it. That's why we struggle so much. Listen, we struggle when we don't get that answer, and we should. Now, you can't stay there. Devil will keep you beat down, but we expect it. Now, what's the last enemy going to be put under death? Underfoot, death. I said it. Death, right? You know, death is our enemy, and we fight against it with every fiber of our being and with every piece of faith that we have. But thank God for the Christian, there's no sting in death, right? Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? There's no victory in death. For us, it is victory. But we fight against it, and we should, because it's an enemy. Death is not part of God's plan. But we know, all of us, eventually, if Jesus tarries, this body's not going to live forever. Amen? But we fight against it. We fight against it. Because we expect. But this outward man is perishing, but the inward man's renewed day by day. But I'm not going to walk by that. That's why if I'm praying and I'm believing and it doesn't happen, I just keep praying and believing. Where's next? I heard Oral Roberts actually say this. He said, he was asked years ago, Brother Roberts, what if you prayed for somebody, laid hands on them, and they fell over dead? They said, what would you do? I'd say, next. He said, well, what do you mean, Brother Roberts? He said, I can't heal anybody anyway. So if they didn't, I'm going to go on to the next one. It's not that we're healing, right? You understand it's Jesus, Father in us doing the work. All right. So notice that. Now, there's Philip doing it. Here's Paul, Acts chapter 20. Are you doing all right? Just got this scripture and one more. Just some things to think about. See, the kingdom, again, it's not a place. In Luke 17, it says the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. That right to rule and reign as a king is in us. I love Romans 5:17, especially in the Amplified Bible. It says that those that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. And the Amplified says, as kings in life. Through the grace and righteousness of God. Reigning as kings in life. Well, how does a king reign? A king gives a decree and it's carried out. All right? So here in Acts 20, Paul says, verse 25, and now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Now, it doesn't matter what you title, what you say. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a title. But notice that Paul, now we know Paul preached what? Jesus Christ and him crucifying. He preached the resurrection. He preached Jesus seated at the right hand of God. He preached us raised up and seated together with him. He preached salvation by grace through faith. He preached, but everything Paul preached fell under that category of the good news of the kingdom of God. Of God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Acts 28. Now here, Paul, you know, sometimes there's things that they happen here. Paul's in prison. You know, why did all that stuff happen to Paul? Didn't he have authority to stop all that from happening in his life? Well, I'm sure he's believing God. He actually went to God three times and said, God, can't you stop this? And God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. When you're weak, I'm strong. Paul had been preaching grace everywhere. It's kind of like I heard a guy say one time, he was talking, you know, and kind of that, and his wife said, "Well, you need to read your own books." Amen. Or listen to your own sermons, right? All right, look at here. Here's Paul. He's in prison. Verse 30, it says, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. They put him in prison. Now he's paying for his own house, but he's there under supervision of the Roman guard, but they're not stopping him ever coming to see him. And notice what Paul kept on doing, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. How many of you know it would have been easy for Paul to say, "Well, wait a minute, I'm in here in prison. This must not work." No, he kept on preaching the gospel of the kingdom. God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So what if we start looking around about us and start looking at things from that standpoint? So I'm going to close now. Start looking at things from that standpoint. Do you see anything during your day that doesn't look like heaven? That doesn't line up with the will of heaven? All right. How many of you do see stuff like that? Okay. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to call the church and have them pray. No. What are you going to do about it? We think I could get Pastor Craig to come. Well, he might. But what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? So what should I? Well, start now praying, God, let your kingdom come in my life. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Any situation I'm in, Father, I'm going to follow you, and I want to bring your will to that situation. Help me know what to do, Father. Help me know. Because it's not going to be you doing it in and of yourself. It's the power of God working through us that's going to bring it to pass. But we are his body. We are literally his hands and his feet in the earth. Right? It is our job now. It is our job to preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, the glad tidings of the kingdom. Amen? It's our job. Everybody stand up, please. Hallelujah. I want every head bowed and every eye closed right now. I just challenged you. The prayer team, you guys can come. I just challenge you. I wasn't trying to be mean, but I just challenge you. Say, what are you going to do about it? The first step is to make the decision that I'm going to start looking for opportunities. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're willing to take on the Great Commission in a greater way than you have thought about in the past, I just want you to raise your hand up before the Lord right now. I'm not even going to look around. But if your hand's up, amen. Father, you see the hands of these people. Father, I thank you right now that as we lift our hands and they've lifted their hands, it's a sign of consecration and dedication. Lord, we ask for your help. Help us to know your will. Help us to have opportunities to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. It's your will, Father God, not our will be done. Your will be done. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now see, start using your authority in that realm. Start using your authority. I know here as I get to travel some, but even here, the Lord's been dealing with me. Before you ever even get in that service, you take authority over every sickness and every disease. You take authority over every spirit that's harassing anybody. You take authority before you get there. And then when you're there, I'll show you how to deal with it. And we're seeing all kinds of just people set free. People set free. Some of them getting set free on their drive to the church. They don't know what happened. Well, when I left the home, I was like this when I got. And we had a service back in April where two people came in with a cane. I mean, they're barely moving. They went out dry. They didn't know what to do with the cane when the service over. Nobody laid hands on them. They didn't know what to do with it. What do I do with my cane? I'm just dragging it out here. I said, well, don't hit anybody with it, but you know. That's fun. You can have that in your life. Start looking for opportunities. Look, don't let Todd White be the only one out there doing that. Having all that fun. You do it. Right? We joke about Todd. He's our friend, you know. Amen.